Okay, today's daf is Pei Vav. We're going to start a Pei Hei on the bed about 12 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Chia. Okay, so just to review, since we can do this together. So the Mishnah said, the Mishnah on Pei Hei, Hashochei v'nim tzei trefa, Hashochei l'avodah kochavim, Hashochei chulim bifnim v'kotshim b'chutz, Chayav ha'ofen iskalim, Rabbi Meir mechaye v'chachamim potrim. By the way, this is similar to the Mishnah about Otovet, but no, all those cases about if it's not a good shechita, right? So there's a machloka, Rabbi Meir and Chachamim, about whether you're chayav or not. Mishum, whether you're chayav in kisoy hadam. Do we consider this enough of a shechita that you're machayav mishum kisoy hadam? According to Rabbi Meir and Chachamim potrim. Hashochev nivla biyado hanocher v'ma'akir patur milachaso. But clearly, if you do it totally improper shechita, where there wasn't a shechita at all, those cases are there was a shechita, but there was a problem with the shechita. Here, it's not even a good shechita at all. Then there's a patur milachaso. Okay, you don't have to cover the blood. So now we have a case where Rabbi Chia nafale yaniva bekitne. His clothes got moth infested. His flax got moth infested. Ata the kamei de Rebbe, so he went before Rebbe. Amar le shkol ofa ushchot albuvita demaya. Demorach dama veshavikle. If you take a bird, shecht it right over a tub of water, and then the smell. What?
Tub of water with
the flax in it. The smell of the blood will basically cause the moths to run away. And that's the way to do it. So now they say, notice what he said, slaughter the bird over and let the blood go into the water. How could he possibly have done this? If you shech the animal, even though you weren't looking to shech the animal, but you needed the blood, like in this case, you still are chayav lechasot. How does this brighter recommend? What do you do to resolve that if you really need the blood? Because there's basically no solution then, because if you need the blood, you're going to have to cover it. You won't obviously get to use the blood. O nochlo o oklo. So either stab the animal and kill it if you need the blood, or pull out the simani.
In other words, don't do a proper shlita.
Exactly. Kiata Rav Dimi Amar Se Tov. When Rav Dimi came, he said that the version of the story was, he said to him, go out, trafe up the animal first, and then shecht it. That way we won't have this issue. Amarle, right? That's what he told him. In other words, he said, they asked, how could he have done this? So they say, oh, what he really meant was, go shech the animal, but trafe it up first so that it won't be a proper shechita, and then you won't be chayav in kisoy adam. Ki ata Ravin Amar, when Ravin came from Israel, he said, no, the version I heard was, say nechur. He told him, stab it. He didn't say shecht at all. He said, stab it. Amarle lamanda amar tzeitrof, my time alo amar tzeinachor. So now they had a discussion. You said tzeitrof, why didn't you say that? What he said was tzeinachor. And then we're going to have the reverse. The chitem akasavar ein shchita laof mina Torah unechirato zo shchitato. Now we go back to an old shita we saw a while ago, which is some people say, right, you might think that what he held was there is no shchita, meaning a bird doesn't need shchita mida oraita, meaning stabbing it is basically the same as shchita, which would mean that if mida oraita, stabbing it is the same as shchita, then saying nechor would not be an option, because that's basically like saying you shechted it, in which case you need kisoy adam on a do oraita level, right? Mida rabbana, we don't count that as good shchita, obviously. But it would be enough of a shchita, right? Because if it's on a do oraita level, then the chiyuv kisoy adam would kick in. If you want to say that that's what Rebbe held, and that's why Rebbe said, say shchot and not say nechor, and then say nechor, which means say shchot, meaning trafe it up first and then kill it, because obviously it couldn't be trafe shchot. Bahatanya, Rebbe Omer, but we know clearly that Rebbe says in a braita that there is shchita la'of min haTorah. Okay, how do we know this? Because Rebbe says in a braita, ka'asher tziviticha, remember that pasuk, it says, kirchat nukha makom shayivchar shem alakecha lesum shmo sham, right, when you got far away from the Beit HaMikdash, v'zavachta mikbarkarcha umitzoncha asher natan Hashem lecha, right, that's all, if you want a shech meat. But now it says, Ka'asher tziviticha, and that seems to be unnecessary. So what did they darshan for Ka'asher tziviticha? That's the source for Of Min HaTorah, Milamed, Shenitzteve Moshe Ala Veshav HaKaneh, Va'arov Echa Ba'of, Va'arov Shnayim Be'behema. Right? This is all that the Masorah was passed down to Moshe, meaning on a Doraita level, you have It's the kanen, the veshed. It's that you need rov of one siman in the oaf and rov of two in the behema, which shows that he holds the ish shlita min haTorah. And therefore, you can't say that that's the reason is because ain shlita loaf min haTorah, and that's why he said say trof rather than say nechor. So therefore, why did he say nechor and not say trof? Right. Well, I'm sorry. We're on. Right. Why do you say, I knew what I was saying, right? Why do you say trof and not say nechor? So, lo mebaya kamar. The reason, it's a lo mebaya structure, which means, lo mebaya say nechor de lav shchita yiklal. In other words, again, Rebbe holds me doraita en l'shchita, en shchita, yesh shchita la'of min haTorah, meaning nechirato is clearly, it would have been fine. He didn't even need to suggest that. Baror, that would have been okay. De lav shchita yikal, because that clearly doesn't count the shchita, because shchita lav min haTorah. Aval, say trof, he specifically gave the bigger chidush, right? He gave the case that you wouldn't have necessarily known. Ema, you might have thought by say trof, shchita she'ena ru'uya shma shchita, that this is, right, that shchita she'ena ru'uya is considered shchita, and that's, right, that's Rabbi Meir's shita, the libai kisoy, and therefore, if you say shchita she'ena ru'uya, right, here you have an actual shchita. It's just a shchita that's no good because you shechted a trefa, which isn't going to work. So you might have thought maybe that's still called shchita and libai kisoy, and you would need kisoy adam. Kamash malan. Therefore, he teaches you, kid Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who appeared in Amun Aleph. They even write that he said that he was right after the Mishnah. He said, "I'm Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Ra'a Rabbi Dvaravsha Rabbi Meir ba'otov ha'beno." In other words, he held like Rabbi Shimon when it came to Kisoy Adam, even though he holds like Rabbi Meir. When it comes to Otova Beno, the Shchita Shein Aruya is Shchita. And therefore, Yochayev on Otova Beno, when it comes to Kisoy Adam, he held like Rabbi Shimon. And here's Rabbi himself, and that matches. In other words, again, this shows that he was whole. He specifically wanted to show, as Rabbi Chiya bar Abba explained Rebbe, that when it came to Kisoy Adam, even though he held Shchita Shein Aruya is Shchita, you still need, you might have thought you need Kisoy Kamash, and you don't need Kisoy Adam. Okay? Even though you might hold it is Shchita, you don't need Kisoy Adam. Ulamanda Amar Tse Nechor, my time alone Amar Tse Trof. Now we have to reverse it and say, so why did the other person hold Tse Trof? Right? Which was, I think it was Rav Dimi. Yeah? I'm trying to remember who said what. Rav Dimi said, no, it's Ravin. Why did Ravin say Nechor and not say Trof? So we're going to have the exact same structure now, but the reverse. The Chitim, we're going to, and it's, what's the structure? The structure is, maybe we'll suggest one thing about their approach on Shchita La'of Min haTorah. Reject that because we know what Rebbe holds on that. So you can't say, oh, maybe he holds this way because we know he doesn't. And therefore, they give a different answer, which is a Loma Baya structure. Same type thing. So why doesn't he say this? So b'chitem akasav shchita she'ena. All right, here's the reverse. Sorry, they start backwards here. The way we ended last time. So now they're going to say you might have thought kasav shchita she'ena ruya shma shchita. The shchita is right. A note. And the reason he didn't say tse trof was because shchita she'ena ruya isn't shchita. I'm sorry, is shchita. Sorry, this is what happens when you don't sleep enough. Okay, so. Why do you say tse trof? So if you say he held shchita she'ena ruya is shchita, and that's why he doesn't say tse trof, because then you would need kisoy adam. But you can't say that because we go back to the way we ended the last section, which was amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba amar Rabbi Yochanan ra'a Rabbi Dvaravsha Rabbi Shimon b'kisoy hadam, which is in kisoy adam he held it's not. Right, shchita she'ena ruya is in shchita specifically. Ushna'o b'lashon chachamim, and that's why he said he gave Rabbi Shimon shchita in the name of chachamim because that's the way he held. So therefore, you can't say that that's why. So in the end, what do we say? Lo mebaya kamar. It's a lo mebaya structure, meaning right. It's teaching you the bigger chidush, but really it would be the case in both. Lo mebaya tsei trov de shchita she'ena ruya lo shma shchita. You can't say it tsei trov because you could have said say trof. Why? Because even shchita she'ena ruya is because that's a shchita she'ena ruya, and shchita she'ena ruya isn't shchita. So therefore, you could have given that case, but you didn't even need to say that. That's obvious because obviously he holds like Rabbi Shimon that it's not shchita. In which case, it doesn't need kisoy adam. But even aval tsei nechor ema, you might say by tsei nechor if you had said go stab it, what might you have thought? Ein shchita la'of min haTorah. unechirato zehu shchitato. You might have thought what? That shchita la'ofes in mida oraita, which means that nechira, right, dafka, according to this logic, you would think, what's the bigger chidush? Nechira. Because you might have thought nechira is actually shchita on a doraita level. Bilibai kisoy. Kamashmalan, therefore, comes to teach you, oh no, Rebbe holds kasher tziviticha, which means that he holds that actually shchita la'of, the shchita is mida oraita, from the words kasher tziviticha. So here they say it was a way of telling you, by him saying tzei nechor, he was telling you, I hold that it's shchita la'of is mida oraita. That was his way of saying that. But really, it will work in both cases, because again, he holds, number one, shchita la'of is mina Torah, which means nechira is nothing. And secondly, he holds, and the conclusion of both is really the same, he holds that say trof would have worked also because of shchita in Ruyah ain't a shchita, because he holds like Rabbi Shimon when it comes to kisoy adam. If it's not shchita, then you're not going to be chayav to cover the blood. So both of those are possibilities. It's just a matter of what the bigger chiddush was that they wanted to show each one. Okay, now we're going to have a question on the story. Now we're going to say, Umi napale yaniva bekitne? Could it possibly be that he ended up with moths in his flax? V'hama Rabin bar Abba v'amre le'amar Rabbi Avin bar Shva. Okay, it was a debate exactly who said it, Rabin bar Abba or Rabbi Avin. You could see where they were confused. Rabin and Rabbi Avin, because those often in Aramaic things get mushed together, right? There's an aleph in the beginning of the word. You can almost read the whole thing as one. So whether it was Rabin bar Abba or Rabbi Avin bar Shva, Misha'alu b'nei Agola. Okay, when the B'nai Agola went back to Eretz Yisrael, this is interesting. So this is in the time of Rabbi Chia, basically, right? We're talking about, this was Rabbi Chia, Nafale Yeniva B'kitne. He went from Babel to Eretz Yisrael, okay? This is like in the end of the Tanaitic time period. So there were people who went back from the Gola to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, there was like a bit of a calm in the you know, things that were going on in Israel. Even though it's interesting, usually at that time we always say everyone was going to Eretz, to Bavel, right? That's when Ki'at HaRav LeBavel, right after that. But apparently there was this time where there were a bunch of people that went back to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Chia among them. And it says here, Pasku hazikim vazvaot varuchot varamim. Okay, all these good things happened as a result of the B'nai Gola going back. So, the zikin, which is the...
Meteors.
What?
Meteors.
The meteors? That's what they say there, the meteors? Okay. Vazvaot, the...
Earthquakes.
What? Oh, right, the earthquakes, and the ruchot, and the bad winds, and the ramim, and the thunder. Below hichmit yenam, and their wine never spoiled. Below la kapishtana, here you have it, and their flax never got destroyed. Now, why is this so relevant? Because here we say, okay? In other words, they said it must be because of Rabbi Chia and their son and his sons that they brought the schut to everybody that this didn't happen. So now you see, because of Rabbi Chia, on account of him, nobody ended up with their flax getting destroyed. So how could he possibly have had moths in his flax? So what's the answer? Interesting answer. Kimahanya zchutayu a'alma. Their zchuyot went to everybody else, but adidhu lo, but it didn't protect themselves. How do we know that this is a, right, we're going to see this format in another place. This kidur Rav Yehuda Amarav, Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, b'chol yom v'yom bat kol yotzeit v'omeret, kol olam kulo nizom b'shvil chanina b'ni, v'chanina b'ni dailo b'kav charuvim me'erev Shabbat le'erev Shabbat. He says, every day a bako comes down and says, the world is going to be supported, everyone's going to have food to eat because of Hanina, my son. Okay, in other words, he brought this chut to everybody, they're going to have food, but he himself ends up with nothing, right? He has haruvim from week to week, that's all he has, okay? He eats carobs. So, what you make of this in terms of this idea that that someone can have schuyo, right? I think of this a little differently in the sense of there's many people who go... It's very easy to go out there fighting for other people's schuyo, but when it comes to themselves, they often don't take care of themselves, right? They're out there doing for others, but they're not necessarily doing for themselves. And that could be what's going on here. Again, they view it in a theological way, but basically, you know, they were so great that caused God to help everybody else. It seems to be why God wouldn't help them, but maybe it's partly connected with this idea that people are very good at helping others, but they're not always good at taking care of themselves.
The old adage, the shoemaker's child.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Okay, new Mishnah. Cheresh shoteva katan sheshachatu. Okay, you remember the very first Mishnah in the Masechet? I don't know if you remember this. But the very first Mishnah in the Masechet, and Daf Bet, said, HaKol Shochatin Ushchit Hatan Kshera. Remember, we spent a long time on that line. Connected with the next one. Chutz Michiresh Shoteva Katan Shema Yikakalu Ushchit Hatan. Right? But then it said, V'kulan Sheshachatu V'achirim Ro'in Otam Ushchit Hatan Kshera. There was a whole debate about how exactly to read this, but assuming it means even a Chiresh Shoteva Katan, and as we're worried, the Shchita is no good because they're going to mess up the Shchita, but if somebody's watching them, then their Shchita is Kshera. So now, Chereish Shoteh V'Katan, back to our Mishnah, Sheshachatu, V'Acherim Ro'im Otam, which means it would be a good Shechita, so Chayavim L'Chasot. Right? Therefore, they would have to do Kisur Adam. Now, who's Chayav L'Chasot? Okay, the Chereish Shoteh V'Katan are on Chayav B'Mitzvot. It would be the person who watched the Shechita would then be Chayav to cover the dam.
We've already seen that anybody can cover the dam.
Right, anyone can cover the dam, exactly. Beinan L'Bein Atzman, Patur Mi L'Chasot. But if they did it themselves, the Shechita, then they don't have to cover the dam, because the assumption is, based on the first Mishnah, it's not a good Shechita, then they don't have to do Kisur Adam. Bechem le'inyan otov epino, and it's the same thing when it comes to otov epino. Sheshachatu v'achem ro'in otan, asur l'shchot achareihen. So if somebody was watching them, and they shechted, then no one else can slaughter in that day. Let's say they slaughtered the mother, no one can slaughter the child. Beinam leben atzmam, but if they did the shechita themselves, Rabbi Meir matir l'shchot achareihen, v'chachamim osrim. So Rabbi Meir says, no problem, it's not a good shechita. And here all of a sudden we see a dissenting opinion when it comes to otov epino. Chachamim forbid, okay? They say you can't do otov epino after a katan did it on their own. Umodim she'im shachat she'in osafeg et arbeim. However, they agree, they say it's asur, but you're not going to get malkot. It's this in-between. Now, first of all, there's a few strange things about this Mishnah. First of all, why do Chachamim only disagree about the second case and not the first case? Secondly, it says, V'chein l'inyan otov epino, as if it's the exact same thing, and yet it's not, because the second case has a machloket. So I'm going to kind of tell you the end, which is in the end, the Gemara concludes that Chachamim disagree also in the first case, it just didn't say so. But it's going to take us a little while to get there. For Rabbanan, so the Gemara starts off right away asking about Chachamim. So the Gemara is now going to try to put up a theory as to why Chachamim or Osrim in the Otov Epino for the Shechita V'Katan, Chereish Shoteh V'Katan, but not say they're Chayav Kisui Hadam. Okay, so again, they're going to suggest, in the end they're going to be put into a corner saying we can't come up with any reason, and therefore it must be they disagree about both. Which, like I said, sort of fits with the words V'chein L'inyan Otov Epino, that is if the Reish and the Sefer are equal. So what would be the difference? Reisha, yamrinan chayavim l'chasot, amrei shchita mal yatehi, v'ate lemecha mishchitatam. We're worried that if you say it's shchereish shoteh v'katan, it does a shchita, you have to cover the blood. What does that mean then? People will see that and see that they cover the blood and assume that it's a good shchita, and then they'll eat from the meat where really you're not allowed to. We don't consider that a good shchita. So then they say, what do you mean? The same would hold true for the Seifa. Seifa Nami. Kevan de ka'amri rabbanan asur l'shchot achareihem. Since the rabbis say you can't slaughter after they did a shchita, amrei shchita malyate. People will also think it was good shchita. So that can't be a good distinction between the Reish and the Seifa. Va'ate l'mecha mishchitatan. So they say, no, you can't say that. Why? Seifa amrei bisra de lo Seifa amrei bisra de lo kamibayale. They'll say, what happens in Otov? If you cover the dam, everyone's going to see you cover the blood. They'll say, oh, that's good shchita. But if you just don't slaughter the offspring in the same day, people will just assume you didn't want any meat. You know, you just weren't hungry for meat, and that's why you didn't slaughter the offspring. Not because it was us or two, right? You see that there would be a difference in what people will see you doing. So they say Reisha Nami, but Reisha also, you could say Amrei Linakir Chatzero Hutzarich. When he covers the blood, it's just he's cleaning up his chatzir, right? There's blood all over the floor. So again, what was their chatzir made of? Dirt. Covering the blood was just putting more, right, kind of burying the blood under the dirt. You could say when people see him covering the blood, they might not think he's doing it for Kisoy Adam. They think he's doing it just to clean up his chatzir, his courtyard. So then they say, but wait. Shachapa ashpa ma'ika lememar, bali malech ma'ika lememar. There's two ways of reading this. We'll just assume these are two separate cases. But what about a case where a chereish shoteh v'katan slaughters it into a garbage dump, where obviously there's no need to clean up the blood, and yet they see him covering the blood in the garbage dump? Or Bali Malech, if he asks the rabbi, do I have to or don't I have to? And the rabbi tells him, you have to. Again, there's going to be an assumption that before we assumed people are just looking and seeing what's going on. Here, what if he actually asks the question of a rav and the rav says, you have to cover it? Well, then again, there's going to be this assumption that he's doing it on purpose. And that's why you could have a concern both in the Seifa and in the Reisha.
You would think that if he asks the rabbi, and then he would automatically be considered qualified to do shechita.
Right. But that's true. But someone else could have asked the question. Someone nearby could have asked the rav what to do. So in any case, right now we're saying that in the reisha, right, you could say the same thing. So then they say v'litamech seifanami bali malech ma'i kalameimer. But then you could say the same thing in the seifa. What about the seifa if he goes to ask? And therefore el rabbanan akule milta plige v'natrale the rabbi meir ademasakle the milte v'hadra plige ilave. In other words, what they do, really they argued about the entire thing, because really the issue would be the same in both cases. And therefore, what they do, they waited till Rabbi Meir finished what he was saying, and then they commented, oh, by the way, we disagree with you, right? We're Osrim. Now, it's a little tricky, because Osrim wouldn't be the same, right? In the Reisha, it would be Chayav Lechasot, and in the Sefer, it's Osrim Otov Epino, but it's obvious what the intent would be. So now they say, Bishlamah Rabbanan Lechumra. We understand Rabbanan, they're going l'chumra in both cases. They're assuming the shechita is a chumra. Ela Rabbi Meir, my time. So what's the reason for Rabbi Meir? We understand Chachamim. Say, maybe really their shechita is, you know, maybe they really did shechta properly. We just didn't, right, nobody saw, nobody knows, but let's assume maybe it was shechta properly, in which case we have to assume that it needs kisoy adam, or it needs, you can't do otov epino. But the Rabbi Meir, what's his reasoning? So I'm Rabbi Yaakov, I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Mechayev haya Rabbi Meir al shechitatam mishum nevela. He was, okay, they say, the reason is that Rabbi Yaakov says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that Rabbi Meir was mechayev on their shechita mishum nevela. He viewed their shechita as if it was nothing, right? Your chayev mishum nevela, if you eat it, it's as if someone just stabbed the animal. Now, what's the reason? My time, huh? I'm a Rabbi Ami, ho'il v'rov ma'aseh mekukalim. The reason is because most ketanim or chershim or shotim don't know how to do proper shechita. We're going to go by Rov. Rov can't do a proper shechita. Therefore, we're going to treat their shechitas as if they're nevela. Okay? Which means that once we treat it as nevela, this clearly can't be considered shechita, linyan kisoy adam, or anything else. So now we're going to have a whole question on what he says here. Amrle Rav Papa le Rav Huna b'reit Rav Yoshua. V'amrle Rav Huna b'reit Rav Yoshua le Rav Papa. Okay, there was a debate about which, right, who said to who, and did he say to him, or reverse? My iria rov, afilu miyunami. Why did he have to say that rov, that mechayev haya Rabbi Meir, that ho'il urov ma'aseh mekukalim. Even if Rabbi Meir had said mi'udr mekalkalim, we also would have called their shechita nevela. Why? De Rabbi Meir, daha Rabbi Meir, chayish lemi'uta. Because Rabbi Meir doesn't ignore the mute. He doesn't, when there's a minority of something, he doesn't say, oh, let's just ignore it. No, no, no. He says, we're choshesh for the mute. And in a case, right, since we're choshesh for the mute, and as we don't just ignore it as if it's not there, samech mi'uta lechazaka v'itra la ruba. What does that mean? This means that when you have a mi'ut of people who are mekukalim, and you have a chazaka, like in our case, the animal is bechezkat lo kasher until you can prove that it was shechted properly. So if a mi'ut doesn't shecht properly, and the item is bechezkat isur, that mi'ut is enough to say, we can't say that this is a kosher shechita. So Rabbi Meir, it would have been enough to just say that Rabbi Meir, that he thinks the minority of ketanim, chershim, shotim don't do proper shechita, and that would have been enough to say their shechitas are nevelas. Because since he's choshesh lemiuta, and there's a chezkat isur on this animal, because he's alive, you know, he was the last we knew he was alive and forbidden to be eaten, and therefore you would say, right, that's what it means, sarif samech miuta lechazaka, put miut plus chazaka, v'itra la ruba, and that weakens the rov. That means there's no longer a rove. Let's say, you know, we'd say even, what we mean to say is like this. Let's assume that we were living in a different time period and the majority of ketanim knew how to do a proper shechita. So basically he's saying it wouldn't matter. He should have just said, mi'ut ar mekalkalim. And that would have been enough add that to the chazaka of Yisur, and we should get rid of the rov here, right? That would weaken the rov, let's say the rov who do a proper shlita, and he still would hold its nevela. How do we know this? Ditnan, come up to a case where tinoch shenimtza b'tzad eisa, we've learned this case before, right? You come into a scene, it sounds like a riddle, you have a little baby there, and you have a batch of dough, and the baby has some dough on his hands. Now, what's the issue here? So we're going to have a machlok at Rashi Tosfot, I'll explain you both. Rabbi Meir mitaher, v'chachamim mitam'im. Okay, Rabbi Meir says the whole big pot of batzek is tahor, and the chachamim says, no, we assume it's tameh. Why? Mipnei shedarko letapeach. Chachamim say the children generally stick their fingers into things, and therefore we assume that the child must have, okay, now according to Rashi, the issue is, we assume a child generally touches things like shratzim and nivelot, and, you know, sticks his hand in the garbage, and therefore we're going to assume tinokot's hands are tmeim. And therefore, since we can assume his hands are tmeim, because most, the majority of them are tmeim, and what's obvious? It's obvious that since his hands are full of dough, that he put his hand into the dough. Okay? And therefore, since the majority of children's hands are tameh, and we know for sure he put his hands in the dough, therefore we can assume the dough is tameh. Vamrina, my time to Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir not hold that it's tameh? Kasavar rov tinochot mitapchim. It's true, rov tinochot mitapchim, but mi'ud e mitapchim. But the minority, there are some children who don't put their hands in the dumpsters and in the, you know, tash shratzim. V'isazo b'chezkat tahara umedet. And this isa, before he touched it, it was b'chezkat tahara. So therefore, samach mi'uta l'chazaka v'itra l'aruba. Okay, so take the mi'ut that don't touch and add it to the rov, add it to the chazaka that this is the chazkatara, and therefore that's going to weaken the rov of children who touch things and get their hands, you know, full of tamei stuff. Okay, so now that was Rashi. Tosfot says, no, you misunderstood the case. The case is rov tinochot mitapchim, isn't they put their hands in the garbage, it's rov tinochot touch the isa. According to us, but what's vadai is, it's vadai that little kids, their hands are tamei. What's safek? It's safek, the fact that he has the dough on his hand, that's why it's like a riddle, right? How did the dough get on his hands? Is it obvious that he, you know, maybe most of the kids took the dough into their hands. But the minority, what could have happened? The mother or someone else could have come along, given the child some dough, and that's why the dough is in the child's hands. And therefore, there's a minority of children who don't, you know, end up with dough in their hands, but it's not that it came from, that he actually touched the big batch. And therefore, Rabbi Meir's mati. So therefore, what do we see here? In this case of Tuma, Rabbi Meir's mati, he says, based on Chayish Lemiuta, add it to the Chazaka, right? So he would say the same thing by us. So now the Gemara says, what do you mean? Imamru Safik Tuma L'Tahir, Yamru Safik Isur L'Hatir? Just because he says it by Tuma L'Tahir, he's not going to necessarily say it by Isur L'Hatir. Why is that? That's based on, if you remember, we say that Safik Tuma B'Rishut HaYachid, based on Sota, remember that whole thing? That if you have a Safek Tuma, whether something's Tameh or not, if it's a Mishud Yachid, we're going to say it's Tameh. And if it's a Mishud Arabim, we're going to say it's Tahor. And that's all learned out from the Sota, that the only case, right, we have a Safek, whether she was Nitma'ah or not by the man, that she maybe slept with, maybe didn't. And the only way we're going to have a concern is if they were B'Yachidut. Okay? However, there's one basic difference between this case and the Sota case. And that's that this is unique because it has to be like Sota. Now, in Sota, Yesh bo da'at lishael, we can ask them. Now, they might not tell us the truth, but there are people who we can ask what happened. Right? They're gedolim. But when it comes to this Tinoch case, Ein bo da'at lishael, right? He doesn't have a way to answer us if we were to ask him what happened, right? That's why it's a riddle. We have no idea. How did it get into his hands? So, therefore, since Ein bo da'at lishael, it's a case of that, therefore, we're going to assume. That's why we're mekel here in the Tara case. But that doesn't hold true at all. That's not a criteria at all for Isser. We're basically saying you're comparing apples and oranges. And therefore, there's no way of knowing that that's what Rabbi Meir would say there. Okay? So, therefore they say, one second, so now where are we? We said, So that's why the whole question was, my iria rov, afilu miu dami, Rabbi Meir's chash lemiu. Oh no, that wouldn't work here. The tsarf miu lechazaka would only, and itrale ruba would only work in the tumah case when embo dat lishael, and therefore, even if it was Bereshit Yachi, we're not going to be machmir, because it's really like a safek tumah that we wouldn't be machmir on, because embo dat lishael, but that wouldn't hold true for Isra v'hetar, and that's why he has to say, no, it's only because we hold rov. Their shchita is mekulkal, and that's why. Okay, only if rov, but it wouldn't work by miut. Hore Rebbe k'Rabbi Meir, v'hore Rebbe k'Chachamim. Now we have a problem. Rebbe taught like Rabbi Meir, and Rebbe also taught like Chachamim on two different occasions. So now we don't know what's the halacha, right? Do we hold this is a good shchita for the sense that you're chayav and otovet beno? Or your chayav lechasot, like chachamim, or like Rabbi Meir, that he's matir in both those cases. So, hey minayu da'acharita, which was the last case, right? We can assume whichever Rebbe paskin the second time, the later case was going to be the one we hold like. Tashma, let's learn it from here. This is a very strange tashma, because we're going to see that by the end of it, we don't actually come to a conclusion. De Rabbi Abba, Bere de Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Rabbi Zera, Havukaime Beshuka de Kesri, Apitcha de Be Midrasha. Right? Tashma basically says, let's take a source from somewhere else. Let's try to learn to our case. Sometimes they bring it as a question, sometimes they bring it as an answer. Here it's a very odd Tashma because it's just going to basically bring a case where they were questioning the same thing. Okay, so it's not going to really prove anything. So Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chia bar Abba, and Rabbi Zera were in the Shuk of Kesari, a pitcha de Beit Midrasha. They were apparently the Beit Midrash was right in the shuk. Okay, so which is interesting, right? If you think about it, you think of those Roman shvakim, you know, and like one of the doors was, you know, one of the places was the Beit Midrash. So they were in the shuk, right by the petach of the Beit Midrash. This is great. Great line here. Nafik Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami comes out of the Beit Midrash. Eshkachinu, and he sees these two big rabbis standing outside in the shuk, outside the Beit Midrash. Amar lehu, lava mina lehu, bi'ida Beit Midrash lo takimu abarai. Didn't I tell you when the Beit Midrash is in session, don't stand outside? Dilma, ike inishim itstarche leshmata va'ati leyitrude. He says to them, you're needed inside the Beit Midrash in case people are learning and they have a question, they don't know how to answer it. You guys are big rabbis, you know the answers to these things. And ati latrude, people are going to be very tarud that they bothered that they can't find an answer. So while the Beit Midrash is in session, you're not allowed to be out in the shuk, you have to be inside the Beit Midrash. Al Rabbi, Rabbi Zera al, Rabbi Abba lo. Okay, interestingly enough, his words have effect on Rabbi Zera, but they don't really have effect on Rabbi Abba. He doesn't come into the Beit Midrash. Yatveva kamibailu. So Rabbi Zera comes in, he sits down, and they ask him a question. What question? Lo and behold, our question. Hey minayu acharita. Which case of Rebbe was the latter one? Does he really, right? Does he hold like Rabbi Meir? Does he hold like Chachamim? Amar lehu Rabbi Zera, lo shvaktun li, di shayle lesaba, til mashmiel le meavua, vavua minay de Rabbi Yochanan, de Rabbi Chia bar Abba kol talten yomen, kamahadr talmude kameh de Rabbi Yochanan. So he says, you know, I don't know the answer, but we should ask Saba, which is Rabbi Abba, the one who didn't come into the Beit Midrash, right here. They're basically telling the story, I think, as a way of being critical of any rabbis who aren't, you know, trying to show you're very needed, because here, one of them went in, the other one didn't, and he was the one who dafka, they thought, might have had the answer to this question, because maybe he heard it from his father, and his father heard it straight from Rabbi Yochanan, because who was his father? Rabbi Chia bar Abba, and every day, kol talten yomin, every 30 days, Kamahadr Talmudei Kameh de Rabbi Yochanan. He would review his Torah with Rabbi Yochanan, okay, showing the importance of Chazara. If you don't do Chazara all the time, you're not going to remember all these Piskei Halacha. And Chavali, he's not here because I could have asked him the answer to the question. So now they say, okay, that didn't really help us, right? Again, that just told us that the other people struggle with this story. So my Haveala, so what really was the case? Some people somehow say that this Tashma was the continuation of that story, and almost like they stopped the story in the middle, didn't really finish, and this is really the end. But it's unclear, because it doesn't seem connected to that story. Deshalach Rabbi Elazar Lagola, Rabbi Elazar sent a psak to the Gola from Eretz Israel to Babel, and he said, Hore Rebbe k'Rabbi Meir. Okay? He says, Rebbe holds like Rabbi Meir. And then they say, so now the question on this source, right? How are they going to prove it from this source? In other words, if he sometimes held like Rabbi Meir and sometimes held like Rabbanan, then why did Rabbi Elazar only say he held like Rabbi Meir? So it must be the fact that the Rabbi Elazar, who lived after Rabbi Meir, passed on this psak, it must be that he held that Rabbi held like Rabbi Meir at the end of the latter case, and therefore Rabbi holds like Rabbi Meir, which is interesting because they were Dafka Meikel. Right? And we say that he doesn't view Shchita, Bechere Shota V'Katan, as Shchita. And therefore, again, Otov Ebeno is not an Isur, and Kisoy Adam doesn't kick in. Okay, new Mishnah. Shachat Me'a Chayot B'Makom Echad, Kisoy Echad L'Kulam. If you shecht 100 Chayot in one place, you do one Kisoy at the end, basically. You do all the Shchitas.
Then you need one day?
Yeah. Yeah, it would have to be in one sitting, basically. Okay, they're probably exaggerating. Unlikely you would do so many, but often the Gemara uses mea, right? It comes up in Makot, afilu mea edim, right? Even if you have 100, they use that mea as an exaggerated term, but basically you could check a bunch of chayot and makom echad, and you do one kisoy. Mea ofo b'makom echad, kisoy echad kulam. Chayava of b'makom echad, not only that, you could check chayot, then ofot, kisoy echad kulam, and then you would just do one kisoy at the end. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shachat Chaya Yechasena, Bachar Kach Yishchot Et Ha'Of. Okay, he says, no. If you do Chayot and Ofot together, first do your Chayot, right? Because remember, Kisoy Adam is a Chiyuv on Chayot and Ofot. And therefore, right, the question is it viewed as one mitzvah for both, or is it viewed as two separate mitzvot? So Rabbi Yehuda views it as two separate, and therefore you have to do it, you have to do the Kisoy. And here it shows the Kisoy has to be done right after Shchita. But the question is Kisoy Adam a whole mitzvah in and of itself, or is it a mitzvah that's connected with Shchita? Right. What?
That completes the Shchita.
Right. Does it complete the Shchita? And this came up before also in different machlokot that we're seeing about there's this viewpoint about whether we view it all as it's the end of Shchita, basically, or is it its own unique independent mitzvah? So this also could be connected to that. Tanu Rabbanan. Chaya. Kol mashma, because it says, okay, again, what's the pasuk? Ish ish mi b'nei Yisrael u'menager agar b'tocham, asher yatsu tzed chaya o'of, asher yachel v'shapach et amo v'kisa v'afar. So, chaya, kol mashma, chaya, bein merubah, bein mu'etet. It sounds like chaya, the general chaya, any kind of, right, in any quantity of chayot. Of, kol mashma of, bein merubah, bein mu'at. Mikan amru, so from here they get it from the pasuk. Shachat me'a chayot b'makom echad, kisoy echad l'kulam. Me'a ofot b'makom echad, kisoy echad l'kulam. At this classic where we have a Mishnah, and now the Braita starts off right away and connects the Mishnah to the psukim, like a midrash halachasta. Chaya v'of b'makom echad, kisoy echad l'kulam. So again, right, they view this as chaya of, it doesn't matter, all one thing. Rabbi Yehuda omer, shachat chaya yechasena, v'achar kach yishchat et ha'of, sh'ne'amar. Here we get his proof. We didn't see yet Chachamim's proof. But where does he get his proof? Chaya o'of amru. Chaya o'of. Because the pasuk says chaya o'of, it looks like they're two independent, right? The O separates them into two different mitzvot. Amru lo, harehu omer, ki nefesh kol basar damo b'nafshohu. So the tkuva of Chachamim is to say, but the next pasuk says, ki nefesh kol basar damo b'nafshohu. V'omar l'bnei Yisrael dam kol basar lo tochelu, ki nefesh kol basar damohi, kol ochlav yikaret. Okay, that's their proof against him. Now, it's not very clear how that's a proof, that it doesn't go like, right, the chaya o'of. Okay, so Gemara is going to say, right, that's the braita. So now the Gemara says, my kamahadrele. What exactly was that retort? It doesn't really make so much sense. So they say, hachi kamrele, Rabbanan. This is really what happened. It was a bit more of a back and forth, and it started like this. Rabbanan say, hai o mebaile lechalek. We need the o lechalek to say what? Remember lechalek? What does lechalek mean? You might have thought, if we didn't say o, what would you have thought? Chaya ve'of, that only if you do a chaya and an of are you going to have to do kisoy adam, and that's what you need the o for. So now, right, now remember, Rabbi Yehuda used the O to say these are two separate mitzvot, and if you do a chaya and ofot, you're going to have to do kisoy adam in the middle. So Rabbi Yehuda, lechalek, where does he get lechalek from? Midamo nafka. Because it says at the end, okay, now there's a debate about which damo, but I'm going to assume To me, the pshat makes more sense that we're talking about the demo at the end of that pasuk. What does it say in that first pasuk? Ish mibnei Yisrael min agar agabat hamashir. It says it's chaya o'ov, right? Which again, chachamim say chaya o'ov comes to teach you one or the other and not both. Asher yachel, right? You would have thought both if it didn't say o. Comes Rabbi Yehuda and says, but what does it say at the end of that pasuk? Vishafachet demo. You spill its blood. Sounds like individual blood. So therefore, they say, that's where I get lechalek midamo nafka. I don't need to learn lechalek from O, and therefore O is free from my drasha. For Rabbanan, damo tuva mashma. He says, no, damo could be the dam of all of it. It could be multiple damim. How do we know this? Dichtiv, and here's the retort that Chachamim said, because the next pasuk says, ki nefesh kol basar damo b'nafshavu. And what's that pasuk talking about? All of, right, the nefesh of all of these things, its dam is binafsho, which means the dam could relate to all of them together. And dam can't be lechalek. So Amar Rabbi Chanina, modeh haya Rabbi Yehuda le'inyan bracha, she'eino mevarech ela bracha achat. Okay, so now he says, Rabbi Yehuda's modeh, though, even though he says, you have to do haya and then spill the blood, cover the blood, and then of and spill the blood, cover the blood. He says, in terms of a bracha, your einu mevarech ela achat. Okay, now what bracha are we talking about? So there's a debate whether we're talking about a bracha on the shechita. Okay, right? Rashi says le'inyan bracha al shechita, ein tzarich levarech la'achar kisui. Okay, because there is no, you don't need to make a bracha after the kisui. Okay, but some people say it's a bracha on the kisui. Okay, there's a whole debate about this. So he says, when it comes to the bracha, though, only achat. Amar le'Ravina le'Rav Acha b'Rei de'Rav, but Amar le'Rav Acha b'Rei de'Rav le'Rav Ashi, Maishna mitalmidei de'Rav. Why is this different than talmidei de'Rav? De'Rav Bron of Rav Hananel talmidei de'Rav havuyafi b'seudata. Kai lehem Rav Yeva Saba. They were sitting at a meal. Came Rav Yeva Saba, the elder, Rav Yeva, v'Amrei le hav livrech. So he said, let's make a bracha. Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about, let's take a koshel bracha for berkat hamazon, right? It was nahug, some people still do this. Right? When you take a koshel bracha, you say berkat hamazon on a koshel bracha, which basically meant what? Right? Let's go bench. It's basically like saying, let's bench. Hadar amrele, hav lishte. So then they said, let's drink. We don't want to do berkat hamazon right now. We want to drink some wine. Amar lu Rav Yeva Saba, hachi amarav, kevan da amar hav livrech, itzerle lemishte chamra. So he says, what do you mean? You can't do that because Rav already said that once you say, we're going to bench, you can't go drink wine for the sake of drinking wine. Obviously you can, you have to make a new bracha. His point is, you can't within this meal drink wine. Right, you already said berkat hamazon. This is classic. There's a big nafkamina. If you're at someone's table and they say let's bench, if you yourself say I'm going to bench and then you change your mind, that means you had to say chadah from the meal. You have to make a new bracha. You can't eat anymore. There's a debate about whether if you're at someone's table and they say let's bench, are you allowed to continue eating? Because it's their saying let's bench. That's what it sounds like from this case, right? He said let's bench and then they couldn't drink anymore, even though they wanted to drink more. So, hachanami kevan de itfale le kisui ichayev le lebracha. So now it would be the same here that what? Since you had a hefsek from lishchot, and then you go, right, so the case here is that you were doing, right. Once you stop to do the kisoy hadam, you're basically saying, I'm finished with the shechita of the chaya. And then when you go to shech the oaf, you should have to do a new bracha on the shechita of the oaf. You follow, the kisoy itself is basically making a hefsek, just like saying we're going to bench. So now the Gemara says, hachi hashta, now you're comparing apples and oranges. Hata mishta ubruche bahade hadade lo efshar. Here you can't both use this as a kosher bracha and use this as a cause to continue drinking as part of your meal. Either you're ending the meal or you're continuing your meal. But in this case, in theory, you could both, now this is interesting, try to imagine the shochet doing this, but you could shecht with one hand and cover the blood with the other hand, which means that those two could both be done simultaneously, which means that it's not necessarily viewed as a hefsek that you would have to do a new bracha. And that's why this is viewed as different from the case of Berkat HaMazon.